Okay, I just have a little thought that I want to share with you tonight. I have a handful of devotional books that really minister to me, and so I rotate them. You know, you reread them. Some of them are one a day for a whole year. Others are a month. Others aren't really devotional books, but I use them as a devotional book, that type of thing. And I've read all of them multiple times, and every time, you know, something different, you know, speaks to me, or depending on the day. This year, I am rereading once again. It's called The Way by E. Stanley Jones. I love it. Except for I don't really care for the end of it. I don't know what happened. Just kind of got, I don't know. That's me. But at the beginning of the year, I started reading. I love it. And I, you know, you look at what you underlined last time you went through it. I highlight it. So it's because it's on my iPad. So I highlight, every time I read it, I highlight in a different color. And so now it's pretty bright with lots of different colors. But in March, one morning, it was just like this word just stuck out to me. You know, the Lord really brought that to my attention. And that happens a lot of time as I read, whether it's the word itself or something that the Lord's given somebody and by way of devotion, where there's just like this one word or sentence, phrase, or whatever it is that really ministers to me. And it might be the same with you too. And so I'm just going to kind of assume that it is, where the Lord draws our attention to this word. Could be grace, it could be uprightness, or it could be holiness, or whatever it might be. And so every time that happens, and maybe with you too, I am aware of that, and it's like, okay, Lord, you did this for a reason, so I don't want to just move on. So what should we do? If the Lord does that with us, what should we do with it? Well, think about it, which is what I do. I think about it. I meditate on it. I start doing some digging into it. What does that word mean, or how is it used, or what, you know, is there more to this? We can use commentaries to do that if it's a verse or if it's something that somebody says that goes with a verse, then we can do some deeper digging that way with commentaries. Most of us don't have my husband's library, which is wall-to-wall commentaries, but we don't have to anymore because you just have the internet, and I cannot believe what is available. The Blue Letter Bible, and then Pastor David Gusick came when we were gone, and he has a commentary on that. So it's just a good way to get whatever that word or sentence or whatever that the Lord has shared with us. It just brings more life into it when we start digging into it and listening to maybe a Bible study on it or do more researching. The most important thing that we are to do is to talk with the Lord about it and ask him, what did you want me to learn from this? Why did you show me this word? What is it that you want to do in my life with this word? Is there something I need to do to change or whatever it is? God speaks to us all the time, and a lot of times we're too busy with a bunch of other things in our mind to take a hold of it and do what I just said to do, to dig into it, to meditate on it. You know, you might think, well, I'm not a Bible teacher. Okay, so what? It doesn't matter. I just happen to get to share my word with you. But if I didn't get to do it in this way, I would certainly text a whole gob of friends, because when I've got a good thing, I'm going to share it. So anyway, my word, when I read that, is center. So he said, this was in week 9, which I think the 9th week is somewhere in March, if I did the math right. And he just said, he wasn't even talking about this, but he just said, get the center right and the circumference takes care of itself. And I went right to the center. Get the center, the center. Okay, get the center right. Well, we know that Jesus is the center, and he must be the center in our lives as believers. Colossians 1:17. Jesus, he is before all things, and in him all things consist, which means all things are held together by him. Now, that pretty much makes him the center. If he is holding the universe together, if he is holding this world together, if he's holding gravity or air or molecules or atoms, and then that makes me want to be a scientist and study all those things. But if he's holding all of that together, he's definitely the center of the universe and beyond. But he also then is in our individual lives as believers. He is it. He is all in all. So what does that mean for him to be the center? What exactly does that mean? Now, the great picture is that it pictures our lives as a wheel. And picture a wagon wheel right now. Wagon wheel, and then the spokes go into the center, or the hub. And you have one spoke is marriage, and then the other one is children, and the other one is a job, and the other one is a ministry, and the other one is extended family, and, you know, all of that. Some of us have 6 spokes, some have 24. It just, you know, just depends. But they're all connected right to that center, to the hub. Back to that quote, get the center right, and the circumference then takes care of itself. So without the center, without the hub, life doesn't work. Everything falls apart. You picture that wagon wheel or bicycle wheel or whatever wheel you want to picture. If you don't have that center correct, it's not going to work at all. Now, we might have learned about wheels in school, or it might just be common sense where you'd look at a wagon wheel and you go, okay, yep, that's how, if that thing wasn't there, it would fall apart or whatever. But I like to understand things a little bit more than that. I wish I did in school, but I didn't have to do all my learning as an adult. But I have fun now doing that. So I sat there and thought, okay, center, center, center. Well, that's a hub. Okay, well, I will research hubs. So I'm on all these truck sites talking about hubs. However, there's a lot to learn. I'm just going to read you something from one of these truck sites, because it's a good picture. I need that. I need those word pictures. I need to be reminded of simple little things. Oh, Jesus is center. Of course he is. And then I go on. But I don't really think about it or picture it. So what are wheel hubs? When you think about the most important parts of a truck, chances are you'll consider the engine, the transmission, and other large parts. But a key player and under-celebrated hero of truck performance also lies literally where the rubber meets the road, the wheel hubs. Now, this is from a guy writing an article on trucks. But it's just, if you just put that spiritual meaning on it, it's like, yes, that makes sense. Although a truck's engine and transmission are essential for it to move, it's not going anywhere without the wheels. A wheel hub's job is to connect the wheel to the rest of the vehicle body. Hubs work hard to make sure your truck not only moves where you need it to, when you need it to, but they are also responsible for the smoothness of your journey. If you've ever experienced the noise or the feeling of your truck with a wheel hub that's gone bad, that's where you stop and you go, okay, well, Jesus, this can't go bad, so now I have to change that meaning. Then you understand how important the truck is. Well, Jesus can't go bad, but he can be moved. We take this and put it in there. You know, we've missed him, we've misplaced him, and we're going to take a different type of hub, me, or somebody else or something else, and now your hub's gone really bad. It's not going to work. So to me, it was, and maybe not to you, but to me, this is a great word picture for Jesus being the center, the hub. The hub is key to getting that vehicle moving, okay? And synonyms, is the center, focal point. I like that. Okay, focal point, the focus, the core. That's what the hub is. That's what the center is. That's who Jesus needs to be in our lives. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I knew all this, and yet once I dug in more, it just brings it right to the forefront of my mind in a different way, and it just solidifies it within me. So if a hub is that important to a wheel on any moving vehicle, then how much more is Jesus the center of our lives? The importance of him being the center. If you cannot drive and make the vehicle useful without a hub, then how in the world can we conduct our lives without Jesus being the center? You know, you might have a great transmission, a great engine, a great paint job, a great whatever it might be, but if there is no hub on those wheels, it doesn't move. It's just like, okay, you got a great car, but there it is. It's not functioning right. The same thing in our lives. Jesus is first, needs to be first. He is the hub, the center, where everything else in life flows from. And so often, we take all of those spokes and we're trying to have that be the source, be that be the center, and it just doesn't work right. In Acts 17:28, Paul said, "For in him, in Jesus, we live and move and have our being." It's all about him. It's him. If he were not there, we are dead. We are useless. We are very broken, damaged, good for nothing. John 15:4-5, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without me as the center, as the hub, you cannot do anything. So when the hub is replaced with other areas of our lives, we will definitely get out of kilter. You go back to that wagon wheel. You know, as it's going along, you replace that with a rock. You replace that with, a quick fix or whatever it might be. It's you're going to go sideways. You're going to be dragging. We will definitely have a bumpy ride in life. We will definitely be out of balance, off course, and it's very dangerous for us in our Christian lives to replace that hub with anything else. Now, we all get off occasionally. There's not a person in the room who keeps Jesus as the center 100% of every second of the day. We get off. Okay, we're flesh, we're sinful people, we get off. We can put family in there. We can put ministry in there, our jobs, ourselves, and really when we put all those things, it always goes back to us because we're the one making the decision. Sometimes it can just be for an hour. We just kind of get off and we feel a little out of sync. It's like, what's going on here? I was doing fine and now I'm feeling wobbly. I'm feeling sluggish or I'm feeling whatever, spiritually speaking. Okay? Sometimes it can be for a day. It can be for a week before it dawns on us. What happened? What changed? Oh, Jesus isn't the center. I've moved him and I've put something else there. And then we have to get back to it. That's why these reminders are so good. Because we forget. We get off. One of the quotes later on in the book, he said, when I am centered on myself, I am off center, out of adjustment, unhappy. In you, Jesus, I know adjustment and joy. My God is center, not I. Just good little reminders. And then further on in the book, you are a Christian when life is centered in Christ and not yourself. I like that. That's a good reminder. Oh, that's right. I'm a Christian, so I need to have my life centered in Christ and not myself. You are emptying your hands to grasp a whole Christ. He is the center, and nothing is worthy. Jesus is only the worthy one to keep in the center. He holds our lives together. And, you know, and I thought about that. I thought, oh, wow. So those moments, days, weeks, whatever it might be, when I get off, I am putting an unworthy thing in the center. How can I do that? Jesus, you are the only worthy one. So just a nice, quick little reminder of that in keeping him the center. Now this is a little extra credit, a little extra info that I read. Food for thought. Now, you have the hub, then you have an axle. I don't know cars, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's this thing that goes into the hub. An axle on your vehicle is a rod or shaft that rotates the wheels and supports the car's weight. Axles are essential components of any vehicle, and they are well lubricated. Now, to spiritualize this, at least in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is the Holy Spirit, because the axle is where movement and power comes from, and Jesus, who's given us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit directs our lives. He gives us all the lubrication and that living water and the power to do his will. get the center right, and the circumference takes care of itself. And this last thing that I love, you can't make life sing at the edges until you make it sing at the center. And Lord, I thank you for this reminder, just for my own life and for how you're going to use it in the lives of these women tonight. Father, we know you have got to be the center in our lives, and yet we get distracted or caught up in whatever it might be, and we do try to replace you with things, not intentionally, not really consciously. We just kind of let things slide into that place. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for that and take your rightful place. And Lord, our lives, they don't sing at the edges. The joy is missing. The peace is missing. But when we get the center right, there's joy and there's peace and there's power. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. And Father, thank you for this time that we will have of fellowship and refreshment. We look forward to what you are going to do in each life this year, Lord, because you have a plan and you have a purpose and you have a will. And we surrender freshly into your will, into your hands. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.